Jay. But I'm...
Aho! Alas! Vayam we. Danyatamaha. Most fortunate. Yat. Because. Atra. At the present moment. Chaktaha. Left alone without protection. Pitrivyam. By both father and mother. Na. Not. Vachintaya maha. Worry. Abaksha. Abakshamanaha. Not being eaten. Oballaha. Very weak. Vrika adivihi. By tigers and other ferocious animals. Saha. He, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rakshita. Will protect. Rakshati. Has protected. Yaha. Who? He. Indeed. Garbe. Within the womb. It's a translation. It is wonderful that these elderly women do not have a higher sense of life than we do. Indeed, we are most fortunate, for although we are children and have been left to struggle in material life, unprotected by father and mother, and although we are very weak, we have not been vanquished or eaten by ferocious animals. Thus, we have a firm belief that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given us protection even in the womb of the mother, will protect us everywhere. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, text 61, Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Radesha Arjuna Tishtati. The Lord is present in the core of everyone's heart. Thus the Lord gives protection to everyone and gives the different types of bodies the living entity wants to enjoy. Everything is done by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should not lament the birth and death of a living being, which have been arranged by the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, text 15, Sarvasya Chaham, Vidhi Sanavishto Matak Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. One must act according to the direction of the Lord within the heart. But because the conditioned soul wants to act independently, the Lord gives him the facility to act and experience the reactions. The Lord says, Sarva Dharman Parachaja, Mamikam Sharanam Raja. Give up all other duties and simply surrender unto me. One who does not abide by the orders of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is given the facility to enjoy this material world. Instead of restricting him, the Lord gives the conditioned soul the opportunity to enjoy, so that by mature experience after many, many births, Bahunam, Janmanam, Onte, he will understand that surrender to the lotus feet of Vasudeva is the only duty of all living beings. Aho vayam danyatama yadatra jatta pitrivyam na vichintiyam maha avakshamana balavrakadipi surakshita rakshati yohi garve. So omaganata madanda shakananjana shalakaya chakshuran meditam yena tasmai shikadavena maha. So does anyone find something very shocking about this particular verse? Shocking. In the context of which the verse is in. No, you don't find anything shocking. I find something extremely shocking. What?
If you wish to go out and lose that, it makes it open for you.
No. But think about the context. Who is speaking here? Yamaraj. And who is quoting Yamaraj? Hiranyakashipu. And so what is Hiranyakashipu talking about here in the verse? How the Lord is protecting one. Isn't that shocking? How you have Hiranyakashipu, who just had his brother killed by the Lord, Hiranyaksha, and now he's preaching to Hiranyaksha's relatives, you know, his relatives too, because they're brothers, by Hiranyaksha by, and Hiranyakashipu by.
And then he also punishes Prahlad.
Yeah, and then he punishes Prahlad, which is really funny. You know, it's just like it's not funny like in a funny way, but it's just
serious.
It's serious funny because it's such a contradiction that here he is. He's talking about a young boy who's getting the protection of the Lord in all circumstances, and then he tries to torture his son later on, and God is protecting him. So it's really interesting how he's using God in that particular way.
Duplicity, isn't it?
It's duplicity. Yeah, because he's using God when he wants to use God. That's the amazing thing I was talking about. He's using God when he wants to use God, and when he doesn't want to use God, he wants to kill him. So you got this duplicity or hypocritical behavior, hypocritical actions and words. And we find this sometimes, many times amongst people, you know, religious people too, who use God for their own purposes. And actually the one typical example from the Vedic literature, from the Bhagavatam in fact, is the story of Shukracharya. Shukracharya, of course, is the Acharya of the demons. And he sometimes advises people to worship Vishnu, which is interesting. Like he advised Bali Maharaj, worship Vishnu, and this way you become rich or powerful and able to conquer over the demigods. So he conquered over the demigods. And then what happened is that Aditi had Lord Vamana as his son. And Lord Vamana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, came to beg at the sacrificial performance of Bali Maharaj. And then Shukracharya said, don't give to him. So here's the same sort of contradiction you find in behavior. He said, worship him, and then when he came, don't worship him. So it's just like they're doing business with God. I think they're deliberately using, and these people are not stupid. Like Hiranyakashipu was quite an educated person, as you see. That's another interesting thing. You know, generally you think of demons as just like really, like the Fijians were when they were cannibals, right? I mean, isn't that our general picture of demons? That, you know, it's just like the cannibal islands, the minister comes there, he gets eaten by the Fijian people, and they cook his boots and they have a good feast. So generally when you think of Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, or any of these people, Shishupal, you think of them in a very low-class way. But actually they were quite educated, they knew the Vedic literatures, and they even used God for their own purposes. And so what happened with Shukracharya, then he told Bali, don't offer anything to this dwarf, Raman, because he'll take everything away. And then
it's the one where you want to possess the material side of it.
Yeah.
And just call worship Vishnu.
Yeah, worship Vishnu for the material side. But there's no question of bhakti. No.
Sitting on the fence.
Yeah, well it's basically what many people do. I mean, it's not only, you know, the demons we're talking about. But let's finish the story of Shukracharya. So Shukracharya said to Bali, don't offer. And when Bali went to pour the water, let me just turn this on. I forgot to turn it to record. When Bali wanted to pour the water to signify he was going to give this, then Shukracharya became very small and he entered into the water pot, you know, to keep the water from coming out of the pot. And then Lord Vamana took a piece of kusha grass and poked out his eye. And Shukracharya became blind from that day forward. So that way he was he's always been very angry at Vishnu from then on. So these are very typical stories. I mean, you'll find more stories than that. You know, people worship Lord Shiva, of course. It's a very similar thing. But even in the modern day, you know, we find people go to the temples. I mean, just like you have this, what is it, Satyanarayan Katha, right? You heard of this before?
Yeah.
Where people go to the temples and they talk about how people got material benefit. No, I mean, it's a whole story about Satyanarayan Katha. This person worshipped Lord Vishnu, and then he got this and got that. But when it comes to the point, you know, the Hare Krishnas say, some Vaishnavas say, well, please surrender your life, you know, Sarvadharma. They don't like that verse. Sarvadharma and Purushasya, they want the whole Bhagavad Gita except for, you know, those particular verses. You know, Purushasya says, Mamai Kam Shadadam Prasha. So basically, most people are following in the footsteps of Harini Kashipu. They're hypocritical. They talk about God, and it's a business relationship. I mean, that's why people, let's say, in many cases, they'll donate a lot to Balaji and Tirumala, because they're thinking. And they even do business. They even say, you know, if this business is successful, then I'll give you 50%, and I'll keep 50%. And, you know, they shake hands with the Lord. And then they do it. And people do become rich. So this is called, and or the demigods, they go to the higher planets, and that's called Sakama Bhakti. So we find that even Hiranyakashipu is engaged in Sakama Bhakti here, to a certain extent. However, the interesting thing is that if we really want the Lord's protection, you have to engage in Nishkama Bhakti. Because the Lord's protection, of course, as is mentioned here, is given to everyone. But what does that mean? That the Lord is giving everyone protection. And because we find people dying, we find people getting eaten up by tigers. We find so many things. The Lord's protection means that the Lord is arranging things in this world for everyone so they gradually become detached. As Prabhupada mentions here, he said, instead of restricting him, the Lord gives the conditioned soul the opportunity to enjoy by mature experience after many, many births. And he will understand that surrender to the lotus feet of Vasudeva is the only duty of all living entities. So the Lord's protection is to put someone in such circumstances that they ultimately realize that they're miserable here. So people have the misconception of the Lord's protection. Even devotees, you know, they say, well, he was chanting Hare Krishna his whole life. And, you know, why did this happen to him? Why did he get cancer? You know, like my godbrother, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, for example. Why did he get cancer? You know, Krishna's supposed to be protecting him. Or why did Srila Gurudev, you know, leave his body in an automobile accident? Krishna is supposed to be protecting. You know, it's an interesting question. Did Krishna just fail? You know, he just wasn't watching his computer that day. You know, he's dancing with the gopis that day and, you know, just forgot about you all. But Krishna's not like that because, as we mentioned, he's omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful. Remember the omni words we used yesterday in class? And Krishna has all the, so he doesn't forget. He can dance with the gopis and still be completely aware of what's happening in your heart, with your intelligence, with every living entity, billions and trillions and unlimited numbers of living entities, because that's Krishna. So when Krishna does something, it is actually his protection. What is Krishna's protection? To help you go back to Godhead. That's Krishna's protection. Not in a mundane physical sense. You know, because ultimately, if you protect the body, let's say if Krishna protected your body and you live forever in this body, that's a horrible idea anyway. But let's say you never got sick, you never got old, you never had any enemies, you were successful, you were wealthy, you had a touchstone, so you turned your wife and children to gold, you know. They wouldn't argue with you then, you know. You just turn your wife to gold, you know, every time. If she argues, just go, all right, gold, now I can sell you. So, I mean, let's say you had that circumstance, then you wouldn't be protected because you would be immersed in misery because you would be separated from your constitutional position in relationship to the Lord. Because that's the only tushanti cha ramanti cha. It's stated in Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? As that's one of the nutshell verses, machita magita pranat, pariyantas cha parasparam. Katyantas jamam nicham tu shanti cha ramanti cha. Isn't it? 10:9. My devotee's consciousness is fixed on machita madgata prana buryantas cha parasprab. And they're always chanting my glories in this way, they're satisfied and happy. Tu shanti. Tushti means satisfaction, and ramanti Just like we chant Rama, that means to be satisfied. I mean happy, I'm sorry. Happy, blissful. So, or enjoying, to be more precise with the definition. So in this way, that's how Krishna gives us protection. So things may happen to us. I mean, we may get attacked by living entities. Certainly we do, isn't it? We've all experienced that since we joined the Hare Krishna movement. We have gotten attacked. Yeah. Have we gotten attacked by living entities? We've gotten sick since we joined the movement. We've seen people die since we joined the movement. But it's all Krishna. If you understand, and there's another fancy word, we've been using these fancy words in class, teleology, the Lord's purpose. Teleology, teleos is from Latin. It means purpose. So teleology means the study of purposes. So if you understand the purpose of the Lord, the purpose of this material creation, which is unlike the scientists. The scientists, what do they say? There's no purpose. Everything's happening by chance interaction of the material elements, whether it's atomic elements or nowadays they have this whole thing called string theory. Maybe you've heard about that. You've heard about it? You read about it?
No.
Yeah, you should study these things. Then you can preach to the scientists. But anyway, I study these things. But so they have. They say there's these strings of energy, vibrating strings of energy. Ultimately, they say there's no matter. It's just vibrating strings of energy. And that's causing us to have the illusion that there is matter. Of course, we're not saying that there's not vibrating strings, but who is behind the vibrating strings, even if there was a string theory? That's Krishna. And there's a purpose behind everything. So try to remember that when anything happens to you, that there's a purpose behind it. And it's Krishna's purpose. Especially the devotees directly, it's Krishna. And for non-devotees, indirectly, but it's also part of Krishna's purpose. Like the karmic punishments are not there just to make someone suffer. They're there to make someone learn a lesson. You follow that? I mean, Krishna doesn't punish because he's just vengeful. Like the Christians depict God as a vengeful God. You know, you didn't chant my name, suffer, go to hell. We don't think like that. Whatever punishment one gets due to karmic reaction, even if you're not a devotee, is due to the arrangement to help you become detached from this world. So ultimately, yo brahmanda brahmate konyu bhagavan jeev kuru krishna prasadi bhai bhakti lata bij. Ultimately, after you're wandering, then you'll want something else and Krishna will send guru. That's what it's all meant for. So anyway, so these are some of the points here in this verse. It's interesting. I mean, the most interesting thing about the verse to me is the hypocrisy of Hiranyakashipu. Isn't it? I mean, it's so amazing how he uses God when he wants to. And he does that in the following verses too. Of course, he never, if you look at the Sanskrit, he never actually mentions God by name. It's all indirect references to God. Because he hates God. You know, it's just like saying the guy who's in charge. You can tell how your relationship with someone, you can tell by how you call them. Like if you call your husband, you say it's my son's father. That means you really hate him. Or, you know, that guy who lives in the same house as me, you know. Or him. I mean, sometimes even using the word you can be actually offensive. Because Arjuna did that to Yudhisthira one time to insult him. There's this whole story in the Mahabharata where Arjuna was supposed to kill Yudhisthira. Do you know this story? Anyone know this story? All right, here's the story. It's a very interesting story. Arjuna had taken a vow that anyone who insulted his Gandiva bow, he would kill. Now you remember the story? And so Yudhisthira one time was injured. He left the battlefield and Arjuna went to see him, you know, just out of compassion. And Yudhisthira got very angry. He said, what is the use of your stupid Gandiva bow? And so Arjuna said, I've taken a vow to kill anybody who insults it. So he got ready to kill Yudhisthira. And Krishna said, you know, this is not the best thing to do in the middle of the battle, etc. And so he said, you figure out another way of killing Yudhisthira. And another way of killing is your brother is to insult him. So he called...
Insult
him. Insult him. Yeah, that's another way of killing someone. Just like so he said, you use the more familiar you. You understand? There's a familiar and there's a respectful you in Sanskrit. I believe in Hindi it's the same thing, right? It's like tum and up and tum. Yeah. So with up, it's more respectful. And then tum is just, it has to be very, but you wouldn't use that with someone who's far older than you and respectable, like your father, right? Sometimes I guess people may do that, but generally, in the formal culture, they wouldn't do that. Or like in Spanish, it's the same thing. You got usted. Usted is less the formal form of you. And, tú would be the... It's similar, actually, to Hindi. Tú is like tú, tum. It would be the... would be familiar. And you wouldn't use that with an elderly member of your family. So Arjuna did that. And it was a very interesting story. Then Arjuna thought, now I've insulted my brother, I'm going to commit suicide. I've just about killed him through words, so I'm going to commit suicide. So he said to Krishna, now I have to commit suicide. I have to kill myself because I insulted my brother, or I killed my brother. And Krishna said, no, you've got to figure another way of killing yourself. And so this is such an interesting story. Anyone read this story in the Mahabharata? And so you read this story. Then Arjuna was told by Krishna, just praise yourself. And that's a way of killing yourself. it's really interesting. So, that's a Mahabharata story for you all. So why do we tell that story? In relationship to what in the verse? Anyway, it relates somehow or other. It relates to some other what we were saying about, I'll remember in a second. Arjuna was what? Had to kill. It's about killing. Anyway, so it's something about.
It's how you use the words.
Oh, how you use the words. Yeah, how you use the words. That's right. How you use the words. Yeah, that's good. Thank you for that. So Hiranyakashipu is using all direct, indirect references to God. You'll never see him say Krishna here or Vishnu in any of these verses. He's just saying, basically in this verse, let's see what he says. He says, Saha, which just means he. He's not saying God or Ishwara. It's not even using the word Ishwara. And the next verse you'll find out, he also does the same thing. He's just such so indirect. He says it's the person who remains as he is. which is like such a... Like, you are the person who remains as you are. It's just so indirect because of his offensive attitude. So it's interesting examining the nomenclature. Yeah, that was the point I was making. You can see how what one's relationship is, how they refer to each other. So any other questions or comments? Otherwise, we have to end because devotees have to get to work.
Raising yourself is killing yourself.
Well, in the Kshatriya Dharma it is. That praising yourself, like, I'm so wonderful, I'm so great. It's very embarrassing.
Or is it an offense to Krishna because we are not praising him, we are praising ourselves?
Yeah, but we also praise other devotees too. Oh, but I would say in the Kshatriya Dharma, Kshatriyas want praise, but when they start praising themselves, it's really a loss of prestige. And you see that also in the Ramayana when, like, Indrajit or Ravana starts praising himself, and then Lakshman says, those who are actually fighters fight, and they don't just talk good about themselves. That's there in the Ramayana. So it's part of Kshatriya Dharma. And so it's like you're killing your reputation. And for one who has been honored, what? Dishonor is worse than what? Yes. Death, according to Krishna in the Gita. So it's somewhat related with that. It's interesting. It's an interesting story from the Mahabharata. But in any case, how we refer to people, you can see what the relationship is.
There's another thing.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Spiritually, we are connected to Krishna. A true constitutional condition. People say, as you were saying something, why does this thing happen to me?
Yeah.
Physically. Now, the fact remains that there are laws which are governing
the material nature.
Laws which are governing material
yeah.
as well as spiritual. Spiritual is eternal, so we go back to Krishna if we worship him.
Right.
The other one is material. Material law of Krishna, or the energy of Krishna, which is the law of Krishna, which says that materially everything is created, maintained,
and destroyed.
Whereas spiritually, it's not annihilated.
Yeah.
Anything which you do spiritually will go with you, but anything which you do materially will remain only.
Yeah.
It's finished. No more bank balances. So, really speaking, is that correct? I
mean, yeah, that's correct. That's Krishna's material energy.
And therefore, cancer, whatever happens, it is part of annihilation.
It's part of annihilation, but we find certain people get certain diseases, whereas certain people may not get the diseases. And so generally we take the things outside of our control, at least for devotees, are directly administered by Krishna. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, if one's foolish and does something, let's say I start smoking cigarettes, which I wouldn't do, obviously. Let's say a devotee starts smoking cigarettes, then it's the material energy. You know, obviously, you know, there's cause and effect here. You're going to smoke cigarettes, you get lung cancer. And so, or I fall asleep when I'm driving, which many devotees have done, and they crash the car. Oh, it's Krishna. No, it's the material energy directly. But there's a certain aspect by which Krishna protects one. Like Prahlad Maharaj, if you just take the material energy, Prahlad Maharaj was thrown off a cliff. I mean, he's going to die. Prahlad Maharaj was given poison. He's going to die if you just take the material energy by itself. So Krishna sometimes acts in ways to adjust the way the material energy functions for the devotee. At least with Prahlad Maharaj, he did that. If you think of all the way, you know, put under the foot of elephants and thrown off cliffs, I mean, poisons, snakes. So Krishna actually adjusted those things. For his devotee, when things are outside of our control, Krishna actually can adjust things, not all the time. I think we have to end because people work. What?
Oh, one question. It said that someone praises you, they're like your enemy. And so, you know, quite often, you know, devotees praise other devotees.
Well, it depends. Like, too much praise. If someone says, talking about, there's a difference between praise and appreciation. Like, if someone says, Rupa, you're so wonderful, you're so great, you're the most wonderful devotee I ever met. They're your enemy. I mean, they're not literally your enemy that you have to kill them, but they're creating a mentality that's interfering with your spiritual advancement. You know, someone tell. Yeah, you've become proud, and so therefore, we should appreciate people rather than praise them. Praise is a general thing. You're so wonderful, but if someone appreciates Rupa, you gave me a book 5 years ago, and it really brought me to the temple. That's not praise, it's an appreciation. You know, thank you very much. So I think there's a vast difference. Like Prabhupada, if you read how he appreciates his devotees, it's exactly like that. He says, it's always very specific. He says, you distributed so many books, I really appreciate that. Or, you know, not those words, he'll use different words. But I've never read him say to a devotee, you're the best devotee in the world, or you're wonderful, you know, you're my favorite. I mean, I haven't read any letters like that. It's always appreciation rather than just blanket praise. So, you know, when you praise someone, it just puffs them up, right? You're so wonderful. I mean, just like, we have to always say thank you. You know, just like I'm staying here, I say thank you to Krishna Vijay. You know, thank you for letting me stay here. But if I start saying, you're the most wonderful devotee, most wonderful householder, you have the best house, the best family. You know, what will that do, you know? Mm. I mean, he won't take it seriously anyway, but it's like a politician, right? A politician or a salesman, a used car salesman. You know, Mr. So-and-so, Mr. Swami, how are you doing? You know, you're really a nice guy. You know, I always think of you, you know. You know, I've got a car for you. You know, I've been saving this car from when you come. So that's what we mean by praise. We certainly praise in the sense of appreciate Vaishnavas. You know, that was a nice class. That inspired me. But if it's a general, I'm just reiterating or repeating what I'm saying, but a general thing, it's actually detrimental to someone's spiritual life. So that's why I have to be careful when I read my Vyasa Puja book every year. There's all these general praises, you know, that are just like, you're so wonderful, your lotus feet are so sweet, they can't be beat, you know. You know, that doesn't inspire me. What inspires me if someone tells me how I help them. That's really inspiring. You know, you said this in class and it really helped me understand something. I get inspired when I hear that. But the opposite, you know, the praise, I don't get inspired. I just go, whoa. You know, it's just not, you know, I know I'm just Krishna's instrument. You know, I'm not wonderful. I'm just 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Okay, so it's an end. Time for everyone to go to work. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Class in Sydney. Okay. Oh, thank you. And thank you for coming to class. It's been nice to see both of you.
Yes, it's not very far, so we are fortunate that while you are here,
you can come
in the morning.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to see you. You're still working as a doctor, or?
Just
a few hours per week. Oh, with your son. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in other words, you can take off anytime you want, right?
Yes.
I mean, you can go to India.